weekly inside look into the University of Southern Indiana men's basketball program, featuring comments from the coach and a member of this year's USI team. Stand Gerard on Basketball is being brought to you by Tironi's, Allstott Office City, Banterra Bank, and by Martin Woodruff, State Farm Insurance Agency. Now with USI head coach Stan Gerard, here's the host of the show, ESPN's Dan Agurski.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stan Gerard on Basketball here on ESPN 97.7 FM. The Ref, the final show for this month of January. And next week we talk to you. We'll be in the month of February, final month of the regular season, and obviously an awful lot to talk about over the next 60 minutes. Coach Gerard joining us, and we're not together tonight. I'm at home. He's at home. We're doing this over the phone on the recommendation of Coach Gerard's boss. Before we talk about that, let's just say good evening to Coach Gerard. Stan, how are you?
I'm doing great, Dan. Like you said, just sitting back at home and in a quarantine, kind of waiting to see what's going to happen here. We thought we were going to be able to join our loyal USI fans at Tironi tonight, and unfortunately, my apologies. We took our COVID test this morning and had one positive within the team, and we're in quarantine to kind of wait to see what happens with this young man's PCR test that he took at Deaconess. So we are kind of in a holding pattern right now. If things come back well for him, we'd be out of quarantine. But if not, we'll have to sit idle for 14 days, and not 14, rather 7 days, rather than until we get out of quarantine.
Okay, so just kind of take us through the developments of today. I mean, obviously, we've talked about this on this program since we started it in November. Every Monday, this basketball team takes a test on campus. You get the results, and then, you know, if everything goes according to plan, then you're ready to go and take on the week. And with this having a week where we have a game Tuesday, Thursday, an open date on Saturday because Truman State right now is still in quarantine. So what happened today that the test came back and one of the young men tested positive, and then now what is the next step for him and your team?
Well, like you said, Dan, we test every morning, every Monday morning at 9 a.m. And we test right there. And by 9:30, when you don't get any a text message or a phone call to say everybody is clear, you always get worried. Well, shortly after that, we got a text from Laura saying that one of our young men, his is moving kind of slow, and she's about 90% sure that it was going to be a positive result, and it came back positive. So the next step after that was you now send whoever tests positive, down to Deaconess Hospital for the more advanced PCR test. And that takes, 24 to 48 hours before we get any results. So we were in the office as coaches. We had a couple guys in the gym shooting, and we were all told to go home and send everybody home, cancel our 2 o'clock practice until further notice. So with that being said, I alerted the guys over at Lewis to let those guys know what was going on. And I talked to the guys at Lewis about two or three times a day to let those guys know finally that the game is off because we didn't get those results back right away. So the game is for tomorrow against Lewis. Will be postponed once again. There's a possibility, Dan, that we could play again against Quincy on Thursday. Shall this young man's PCR test come back negative? If it comes back positive, we will not play. But if it does come back negative, we will play Thursday if it comes back negative and not the Saturday game against Truman, because Truman is also in quarantine as well. So it's been a long day. Been on the phone with the guys. We had a Zoom meeting with the team today over a couple of different things. Laid out the plan for those guys. We know the scouting report just in case we were going to play Lewis. And shortly after that phone call, we reached back out to everybody and said the game is now postponed, and now we got to transition our mind to Quincy. With that being said, we did not practice. They may not practice tomorrow. Maybe one of those cases where we won't know until Wednesday for a Thursday game. So we already behind the eight ball. But at the same time, we just got to be able to adjust to another adverse situation. And it's a great teaching point for our young men as well.
Okay, so the PCR, what does that stand for? Do you know?
I don't know what that is. It's just
okay.
That's what I was reading emails, and yeah, they just go downtown and take that. They call it a PCR test, and I guess it's a more advanced version of the COVID test.
That's what I'm told.
So,
because the COVID test that you guys take on campus, each athlete administers that to themselves, right?
Yes, but it's monitored.
Okay.
Monitored by the campus, the nurses on campus. So
as of right now, then this team is just waiting for the results of the PCR test that was taken today by this individual on the team.
Once
those results are back, if it's negative, then the game will be taking place on Thursday. If it comes back positive, then obviously these games this week and probably all of next week. I wouldn't think if it come back positive tomorrow or Wednesday, that probably that trip to Kansas City could be in jeopardy too, wouldn't it?
Exactly. Because, you know, once you come back from quarantine, there's a return to play protocol that's in place that we have to abide by as well. So next week, if things come back positive for this young man, then we may not even play next week. So it's just praying for the young man that everything comes back negative. And our guys want to play as well, but I think I always say this, and I don't mind saying it, I'm more concerned about the health and well-being of our athletes than playing a game. So hopefully it comes back negative. That's my prayer for this young man.
Okay. Obviously we had Clayton Hughes on the program earlier, the other show that I do, Stan, and we were talking to him just about, you know, kind of this daily regiment that everybody goes through and to try to, you know, make sure that there's another day and another practice and another game. And, you know, this is certainly a team that, you know, it's been we talked about this on this radio show. We, you know, got started a couple of weeks late because it was mid-October and you're in quarantine, and then in quarantine again early December there after the young man from William Jewell tested positive. And so that shut this team down, and now in a position where we're waiting for a test result tomorrow or Wednesday. So as far as these games right now, you know, the Lewis game tomorrow, the McKendree road game in Lebanon, the Truman State game, right now there's three games that are in postponed status. Saying, for example, that this young man comes back and the team plays on Thursday, what do you think the chances are of any of these three postponed games actually getting played?
Well, today I solidified a rescheduled date with Truman State. That'll be later announced once we cross the T's and dot the I's. But we verbally committed to a date, and I'm excited about that. Been in contact with Scott Trost over at Lewis today, and we're going to speak in the morning and get another date rescheduled for this Lewis game. And then the McKendree guys over McKendree. We've been in contact over the weekend, so it's a strong possibility that I will get two of these three games rescheduled. To get three is going to be a stretch because it's so late in the season, but I know for sure I have two already in place, ready to roll.
Good. All right. So, you and I were talking the other day about this, and, you know, it just seems like, and this is a conversation for a different time, and, you know, we have our own thoughts and philosophies about, you know, how the commissioner's office is involved in all of this. And it just seems like whenever these games are getting postponed, there's not a lot of information or support coming out of Indianapolis. It's almost like these schools are on their own to reschedule these games. And I guess from a coaching standpoint, you look, and we talked about the fact that you need to play at least 11 games to be eligible for the NCAA tournament. The Eagles have played 10. If you have games that need to be made up, you look at the point standings, the top eight teams get to the GLVC tournament. You hate to think, okay, a coach is going to look and say, all right, well, we've got USI, we've got, you know, and some teams maybe on the bottom yet to fill. Let's go ahead and try to play these games where we might win as opposed to a game where we've got a chance of losing. I mean, there's just no rhyme or reason. There's no structure right now in this league as to how these games are being made up, is there?
No, there's not. And it's on the coaches to reschedule the games. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. And we as coaches, we just got to trust that everybody is doing the right thing in terms of not trying to duck and dodge anybody. But it's going to happen. It's bound to happen because everybody's trying to gain some type of competitive advantage. And but you got to trust the fact that, you know, when, for example, and I was a little disappointed. I didn't think that guys at Truman were wanting to play. And then we got on the phone finally today. We talked around the game, and then we finally got on the phone, and he was very understanding of my rationale as to why we should play. And he's like, let's do it. You know, so I appreciate Jeff for that. And you know how it is. You exchange a text message, and somehow you read those text messages, and sometimes that text message, you can read it the wrong way. And it takes you getting on the phone and having a conversation with a guy and trying to make a decision. And thankfully, Jeff, wanted to make something happen today, and we got that confirmed. So, but, yeah, it's on the coaches. You know, we have a lot to deal with during the season. It's not just coaching basketball and making sure guys are taking care of class. Now we're scheduling games in the middle of the season. And it's unfortunate, but, you know, we just got to do what we got to do right now to try to, you know, to try to find games.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, I guess, with this point standing in the GLVC. And, you know, last week we're sitting here and, you know, USI is in eighth position. The top eight teams go to the tournament. And by virtue of the two road wins, USI finds themselves right now in third place behind Truman State and Umpsulman. And you're looking further down the road. And again, I know you guys are taking this one day at a time, 1 hour at a time, and that's the way that, you know, you've got to manage your basketball season this year. But, you know, if in fact we get to that point where, you know, bids are going out for the NCAA tournament, you know, some kind of selection committee is going to look to see the quality of opponents. And I know how you are. I know how competitive you are. You want to play the best. And I would think some of these other teams that would have a serious chance of getting into the NCAA tournament would like to have some pretty good wins on their resume as opposed to just beating a bunch of teams that, you know, are not playing in March.
Great point, Dan. And it's funny you brought that up. I was talking to the guy who succeeded me at UIndy today, Casaro, and he's working on his scheduling right now, and Truman called him to reschedule. And he called me, and it's like, hey, I don't want to play Truman because I want to win. I said, well, you need to play Truman for strength of schedule purposes, you know what I mean? Because they're now making a run, and they just beat Lewis a couple of days ago, and I told him how important the strength of schedule is when you start looking at selection, you know. So you got to take a chance. And for me, I'm the same. I want to play the best teams. I don't want to play any games that's going to affect our strength of schedule or any games that's going to affect our chances of making the conference tournament or even – the postseason. John Mark Hall and I were talking today, like, it's almost like you got to get in that conference tournament and win it just so you can make sure you're making the regional tournament, because you just don't know how the committee's going to decide with all the cancellations and the schedule changes. You just don't know. And the only way you can ensure you're going to make the tournament right now, I think, is winning the conference tournament.
Okay, so that brings me up to this question here. You know, obviously the Division II is going to go from 64 to 48. There will be eight regions, but just six teams in each of the regions instead of eight. So this year, in years past, it's been the team that wins the conference tournament gets an automatic bid. Is that still the case this year, Stan? Do you know with the fact that there's going to be two fewer teams in each region?
I think so. That's my take on it. I dug into a little bit over the weekend and read about it, and that's my take. It'll be six teams from each region unless they look at some conferences or some teams that's not playing and put them in. But from what I read over the weekend, because I started looking into that type of stuff as of Friday, and I'm thinking six teams from each region are going to get in. That's going to be hard. That's going to be hard for some guys to get in. I want to make sure I'm trying to make sure, Dan, that we're one of those six teams of getting that invite.
Okay, well, and then we'll take a break. We'll talk about your team and Josh Price and the two big wins over the weekend. Jelani Simmons is going to join us a little bit later on. Well, let me ask you this. I know you guys follow this on a daily basis. How are the other two leagues in our region, the GMAC and the GLIAC? I mean, obviously there are very good teams in there, but are there some teams that in both of those leagues that are having really good seasons too?
Oh, Hillsdale's having a great year so far. I think they're in the top 25. Ferry State is down this year. Saginaw's down. And there's one more team in that league. I want to say Ashland, Dan, but for sure, Hillsdale is having a great year so far. And I would say they'll be one of those teams that, you know, they'll be there postseason-wise. They're going to play in Finley. Finley's having a pretty good year as well. So it's going to be a tight race for everybody. Again, we have to control ourselves here in our league, in our own league, rather, so we can get that chance to, you know, somehow get a chance to play in the postseason. But that league, that GLIAC league is pretty tough league. And it'll be one of those things where it's just now getting started. But I think at some point, once these guys start, you know, playing each other more, there's going to be some teams falling off. I think Michigan Tech is having a good run as well. So it's going to be a tight one down the stretch.
If Jim Domovich, the commissioner of the GLVC, called you tomorrow and said, Stan, the top eight teams in the league are going to be in the GLVC tournament, but, you know, not everybody's going to play the same number of games, what do you think about expanding the conference tournament to 12 teams? What would you say?
I think that's fair for everybody to get a fair shot, especially with the shortened season. I wouldn't be opposed to that. With the season being condensed down to 22 regular conference games, you know, there's a lot of teams. Well, everybody's missed out on those preseason games you talked about in the previous show of, you know, just tuning up. You know, you look at a team like us, for example, we are now starting to turn the corner. You know, Indy's won three of their last four games, I think. You know, there's teams right now that it just took a couple games for guys to get going. You know, this year you didn't have that opportunity. You got to be ready out the gate. You know, if you wasn't ready out the gate, then you would find yourself 0-3, 0-4, or in some cases like Indy, 0-7 to start the season out. But I wouldn't be opposed to that. I think that's something they should consider, but I don't think it's going to happen because we've already pretty much almost halfway through the season. I don't foresee that happening.
Yeah, okay. All right, we'll take our break. We'll come back. It was a really good road trip for this basketball team. A couple of the wins in the state of Illinois beginning on Thursday with the trip to Romeoville and Lewis, and then continued on Saturday at Illinois Springfield. We'll come back. We'll talk about the games with Coach Girard. Stan Girard on Basketball Show continues here on this Monday on ESPN 97.7 FM, The Ref.
Benny and the Main Street Boys making noise
at Taroni.
Ain't nothing but a pizza party
at Taroni.
Benny and the Main Street Boys are calling. Made fresh right here, the best pizza and beer. So follow us down the Pizza Break Road.
All right.
Benny and the Main Street Boys are making noise.
All right.
Pizza party at Taroni's.
Does your bank offer the personal service of a community bank combined with big bank products that you expect? I'm Dane Chandler, Banking Center Manager with Banterra, and with our bank, you get the best of both worlds. Our easy-to-use mobile app includes conveniences like mobile check deposit. We offer competitive CD and money market rates, smart mortgage options, and unmatched business products and services. Switching to Banterra is easy. Stop by our locations to learn more. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? Then let State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville help you simplify and get to a better state. Because with Martin handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time to handle everything else, and more money too. Because adding State Farm policies can earn discounts that could add up to 40% and actually help you get ahead. Call State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Your single source for
Welcome back, Stan Gerardo. Basketball on this Monday night. Dan, along with the coach, virtual meeting tonight. As obviously we just heard from the start of the show, one of the players on the USI basketball team right now tested positive this morning, getting a PRC test, had that done, waiting for the results. And so tomorrow night's game with Lewis has been postponed for a second time. The game with Quincy right now is still on. That will be determined for sure. Probably sometime tomorrow, no later than on Wednesday. Well, Coach, as we go back to last week and the game with Lewis on Thursday night, they had come in, they had lost two games in a row, and the last game was against Missouri St. Louis, a very good basketball team, and Lewis is always a tough place to play. USI had not won a regular season game up there in about 6 or 7 years. The last game they played up there against Lewis was in the semifinals of the Midwest region where they won that game. But still, I mean, Scott Trost, I think right now maybe the longest tenured coach in the GLVC at the same school. And he's always got a couple of really, really nice players. And in the first half of that game, you know, they jumped out to a 38-30 lead at the half, shot really well. USI did not shoot all that well, especially from three, but still in the game. And at halftime, you're down eight, and it's like, okay, well, USI has Lewis about where they want. They're down three or four possessions. Second half, USI is going to come out and take advantage of the situation, and certainly you did that. I know you just don't like to fall behind by, you know, 8 or 10 points in the first half every night.
Not at all. Not the way we drew it up, Dan. But you tipped your hat up to Lewis. They came ready to go. They shot 48% from the field in the first half, and 46 from three in the first half, but these guys were on fire.
Yes.
But got off to a great start. You know, we again, execution, had 11 turnovers by halftime, and then second half just came out, a different ball club. You know, we came out second half. I think we scored 44 points, maybe in the second half, slowed them down with the zone. We couldn't keep them in front. The Bruno kid put his head down, got into the paint. They play a little faster than we did. We try to press them, and they broke the press and got some easies. But, you know, once the dust settled, you know, we was able to, you know, generate some stops in the second half. And it helped us on the offensive end. I think, you know, we got stops and we ran more versus, you know, walking ball off the court.
So from a defensive standpoint, we talked about this in the postgame show. You elected to go to zone in that second half, and that certainly – shut down or slow down their offense a little bit, and I think they were certainly confused for about 5 or 6 straight possessions. Didn't get a lot of good looks. You limited them to just one shot offensively, and then, you know, on the other end of the floor, it was Emmanuel and it was Jelani that really kind of took over offensively. I mean, certainly got an awful lot of help from their teammates, but those were the two guys that scored all but 9 points in the second half. So, was it a combination of the defense? What maybe did you guys do in the second half other than shoot the ball a lot better, especially from three and especially Jelani, that was the difference in the second 20 minutes?
Well, I'll tell you, Josh Price carried us the first half. I think he was 5 or 7 from the field in the first half with 11 points. And, you know, I think Emmanuel and both Jelani, the second half, they saw some things in the second half that, you know, they got some looks rather in the second half that they wasn't getting in the first half. And we took care of the ball. We had 11 turnovers at halftime and only 5 in the second half. And that ignited our offense. You know, we start moving the ball better. You know, guys move without the basketball. You know, we found the open man. And then it helps when you got a guy like Jelani Emmanuel. Jelani hit some deep three-pointers for us. You know, it was a couple back-to-backs, and he started feeling pretty good. And the excitement started. Emmanuel did a great job in transition, putting his head down, getting to the paint, and he really, really attacked the offensive boards as well. So I think those two guys, man, they put us on their backs the second half and took us home.
Well, and again, USI shoots after going 28% in the first half from three, 50% of the second half, and again, a lot of those coming from Simmons. And for the ball game, too, you look at the fact, you know, the free throw line. I mean, you go 19 of 21, 90%. You dominate the rebounds. The turnovers go from 11 in the first half to just 4 in the second half. So taking better care of the basketball, obviously getting good shots. Simmons getting hot. Emmanuel doing what he does in the low post. You were able to get contributions from a lot of guys that were coming off the bench as well. Tyler Danson got you 4 points in 12 minutes. You know what you're using, how you're using Chance Coyle right now from a defensive standpoint. And do you feel right now that that defense really just kind of wore Lewis down coming down the stretch of that game, Stan?
I think it did in both games this weekend. You know, we were able to, you know, keep shifting guards in and out, and we pressed them a little bit on ball. Chance Coyle continues to be amazing on defense. Chance didn't score any points for us at Lewis. But from a positive negative standpoint, he was a plus 26 when he was in the basketball game. We took him off the basketball, allowed him to play his more natural position, but he's a ball hawk on the defensive end. He just stayed in that kid's face and turned him and just ignited us on the defensive end. But yes, I think we wore him down. You know, we were able to put in, you know, throw Chance, and then we threw Dancy and then Tyler Henry off the bench. And, you know, of course, the game, that wears on you. You know, you look at a guy like Connor at Lewis plays 33 minutes, and Bruno, the kid who got off to a great start, the Bruno Williams kid in Lewis got off to a great start. But then second half, he wore down. He played 37 minutes. So I just think our depth and our guards just kind of wore these guys down along the way, and we just kind of took over down the stretch.
And obviously it's got to be disheartening for a basketball team. I mean, I think they got the first 3 points of the second half, and so they actually led the game by 11, and then the three-point shooting. And when Jelani or any of these other guys, Clayton, we saw this on Saturday as well with both of those guys, but, I mean, when they get in a groove, I mean, how deflating is that for a defense? And we've seen this with USI a couple times, especially in those games that we have lost, where, I mean, you play defense for, you know, 20, 25 seconds, and then you either give up a backdoor easy lay-in or else, you know, somebody gets a wide-open look from three and buries it. I mean, that's just got to be, from a defensive standpoint, just, again, deflating. And when you try to play real hard for 40 minutes in those last 4 or 5 minutes, you could just really tell coming down the stretch after that media timeout that Lewis had really kind of had enough and didn't have enough left in the tank to finish out that game, and it results in a 9-point big road win for USI.
Yeah, that's the beauty of having a deep team when you can just keep wearing your opponent down. And that was my message to our guys before the game. We have to, you know, trust the process a little bit more and not worry about the score at halftime, not worry about the score so much at the 10-minute mark, because I felt like we could wear these guys down as time went along, because we have good enough guards that are like I said, ball hawks in the ball. Those same shots that Lewis were making in the first half, they were all short in the second half because we wore them down. And that's my thing, you know, it's gritty, not pretty. That's my terminology, man. We just got to keep grinding away at it and wearing guys down so that their legs are gone in the second half. And I think, you know, once we start talking Springfield, you'll see it happen in Springfield again. You know, we just bore these guys down over the weekend with our guards and our bigs. And once we, you know, got over the hump, we just kind of took over the game down the stretch in both cases.
All right. Welcome back. We'll talk about the win over Illinois Springfield, 88-69, by far and away the best 40 minutes for the Eagles in one night. This is Stan Girard in basketball. We'll be right back on ESPN 97.7 FM, The Ref.
Benny and the Main Street Boys make a noise.
At Taroni,
ain't nothing but a pizza party.
At Taroni,
Benny and the Main Street Boys are calling.
Made fresh right here, the best pizza and beer.
So follow us down the Pizza Break Road.
All right,
Benny and the Main Street Boys are making noise.
All right,
pizza party at Taroni's.
Your single source,
Does your bank offer the personal service of a community bank combined with big bank products that you expect? I'm Dane Chandler, Banking Center Manager with Banterra, and with our bank, you get the best of both worlds. Our easy-to-use mobile app includes conveniences like mobile check deposit. We offer competitive CD and money market rates, smart mortgage options, and unmatched business products and services. Switching to Banterra is easy. Stop by our locations to learn more. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
It's not just a home or a car, it's the 6 months you save for your Ultra HD flat screen just in time for the basketball season and the overtime you work for that third car so your teen can drive himself to practice. While other insurance companies just see them as a bundle or combo, State Farm agent Martin Woodruff sees your home and car as things you work really hard for. Martin understands what your things really mean to you and is here to help you give them the protection that they deserve. Talk to State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville for your home and auto insurance today.
Welcome back, Stan Gerard, basketball on this Monday night, and with you every Monday night throughout the college basketball season, talking about the Screaming Eagles. And, well, Coach, obviously on Saturday, making the stop in Springfield, they had had a 1-1 week so far. They had a very tough loss, a one-point loss to Indianapolis on Tuesday. Had a victory on Thursday, and then they were playing their third game in 5 days. All of them were at home. And I thought, you know, not seeing everybody in the league so far, but at least when the teams came out to warm up, Springfield had a couple of guys that, from a physical standpoint, matched a little bit of what Josh Price and Emmanuel Little are for you. I just thought it's not going to be, you know, you have the advantage height-wise, but I just thought with Weber, and then also with Wedling, and then the young freshman that came in, Isaiah Esker, guys that could kind of hang with Price, and boy, he certainly had a field day offensively, and it was just really, really fun to watch.
Yeah, it was fun to coach. You know, we talked about this on a number of shows about our start, and I wrote on the whiteboard to start the game as if you were down by 10 points, and boy, did we do that. You know, they get off to an early lead, but we just kept chipping away at it. I'll tell you, the biggest thing, Dan, was their mindset. It was, you was in the practice the night before. The practice wasn't very good. I wasn't happy, but they responded to me getting upset at these guys in practice. So, but I feel like our guys, they stayed the course throughout the game, stuck with the game plan, took care of the basketball. You know, we looked at the minutes in the previous game with Springfield, and the Marble kid and the Wedding kid and the Robinson kid, they play a lot of minutes. And again, we wanted to just wear our opponents down, and just, you know, as the game went along, we always said those shots that are going to fall early would not fall late if you just continue to wear these guys down.
Oh, yeah, you did. I mean, Marble played all 40 minutes. Wedling played all 40 minutes. And then Robinson played 38 minutes. And, you know, he didn't have a point at the half. And I looked at the halftime stat sheet. I'm thinking, here are some of the keys of the game. I mean, I think Mateo might have had his one basket in the first half, but he had 2 points. Robinson didn't have any. You guys only had 3 turnovers in the first half. Shot the ball extremely well, better than 50% from both 2 and 3, and had the lead of 12. And you're thinking, okay, you know, Springfield, that they play pretty well at home. They're going to make a little bit of a run. They did that in the second half. I think got it down to about 8 at one point, but that's as close as you would let them get. And that, too, is an improvement, Stan, because, you know, when we look at games like Southwest Baptist and some of these others where USI's had a lead, a nice lead at the half, and then, you know, it comes down to the final possession or two, and it's a ball game. But you never really let Illinois Springfield back in the ball game in the second half, and that's certainly something that this team can build on.
Yes, it was a great game to be a part of, and I felt like we controlled tempo with our defense, got some big stops. For the first time in a while, I felt like the whole team on the defensive end was all on the same page. You know, when that ball was moved, we was in the proper positions off the basketball. When that shot went up, we attacked the rebound. We dug the ball out of Weber's hand when he tried to back his in. You know, when those guards got into the paint, we were in the gaps to close that door on those guys. So it was just a And I just watched the game a little while ago, but it was just a great game to watch and be a part of because it's all, I felt like it was all finally starting to come together.
Oh, well, obviously it is. And, you know, Simmons, another big second half. Clayton, obviously, a big second half. I think three of his 4 3-pointers, they finished with 14. I think he had about 10 points in the second half. And then, I mean, obviously we got to talk about Josh Price. He's a player of the week in the Great Lakes Valley Conference. It's the second time for a USI player in the last 3 weeks. But, you know, he got the ball down low and, you know, double-team, triple-team guys just banging and banging. And, you know, his concentration level on Saturday, they were just through the roof. And then for him to step back, and you talk about being disheartened. I mean, you know, when Josh can get the ball maybe at the elbow or something like that in that 15-foot jump shot, and that's nothing but net, and then they foul him, and he drops 11 of 12 from the foul line. I mean, there isn't anything this guy can do or can't do within 15, 20 feet of the basket. I mean, he'll even shoot a three. He did certainly against Lewis and drop that. I mean, the guy right now is just playing some really, really good basketball.
And this young man is so skilled. I've always told him he was one of the most skilled big men in the league. Footwork, it doesn't look the prettiest of times. It always looks slow and methodical, but on Saturday, he caught the ball exactly where I wanted to catch the ball at. And we talked to him over the weekend about being more patient in the post. You know, if you hold the ball for a second longer to see if the double's coming versus trying to pass it out so quickly, which results in turnover. So he was just, he was patient when he caught the ball on the block. He was in more control of himself and his body. And, you know, 35 points, 3 assists, 8 rebounds, and 2 blocks. He was a stat sheet stuffer, man. He just got into a rhythm at Lewis, I thought, for mid-range, and it carried over into the game on Saturday. He got a couple and-ones, the and-one running down the middle from a pass from Manuel, and then that huge dunk that he got against those guys, which was a foul as well. He's back in his free throws. He goes 12 of 19 from the field and 11 of 12 from the free throw line. That's a great stat for a big man because, you know, you're right, he got beat up, you know, but he finally got to the line. And I think his rhythm on the offensive end came from him getting to the free throw line because now he's getting more shots, getting more reps, and he just had it going on Saturday.
You know, he plays 30 minutes in the game. A couple of times you had to get him out of there just to give him a little bit of a break. But even the one steal that he had, and then he went three quarters of the court with that dunk. I mean, you know, how many guys his size can run and outrun guards to the basketball and then go take it three quarters of the court and flush it like he did? I mean, again, it was just a phenomenal performance by a guy. And boy, you just hope that, you know, you don't expect 35 every night, but Clayton said, you know, you expect about 20 out of him, and that may be a little bit unfair, but, you know, the guy right now is certainly in a really, really good place and playing good basketball. And this game on Saturday, you know, obviously for 40 minutes, it was the best all-around game, and we're halfway through the season.
Yes, 35 points in 30 minutes for Josh. You know, we was able to, Dan, as you saw, we were able to get some minutes decreased by 3 or 4 minutes, and he had his legs late. You know, I tip my hat off to Tyler Dancy because Tyler Dancy, again, came in, backed up Josh, and I just told Dancy, just go in and just beat the kid up and wear him down. And Dancy was ducking in on the young man and just wearing his body down as the game went along. And the kid had nothing. You know, at the end of the game, he had nothing because between Tyler Dancy and Josh Price, they wore him down. Jelani Simmons and Clayton Hughes came up big for us. Jelani goes 4 of 7 from three, and Clayton goes 4 of 6. And when you shoot the ball as well as we did the second half, it's hard to focus on that interior attack that we had. So it just made everybody's job a lot easier because we had it going from the inside and out. You know, we got a lot of inside passes, the kickouts, a lot of drive drawing kicks, a lot of transition points. So it was just a mix of everything. And our offense looked pretty lethal the other day on Saturday.
Well, it certainly did. And we talked earlier on, you know, I mean, we're, team is 2-2 or 3-2, whatever it is. And you just said, you know, the team has to be patient. These shots are going to start falling. There's just too many good shooters on this team for that not to happen. And certainly over the last couple of the ball games, we have seen evidence of that. And you talk about consistency, Stan, over the last three halves, the second half against Lewis, the two halves against Illinois Springfield, all three of those 20-minute periods, this team scores 44 points.
Yeah, that's a great number. And I'm proud of our guys because we held Springfield under 70 points. That's always our goal. I feel like if we can hold teams under 70, rather, we got a chance to win. But 44 points in three halves, that's the magic number. Now we'll shoot for that target every half the rest of the way.
All right. So after the weekend is over, I mean, you know, the team, you get two road wins, the winning streak now up to 3-7-3 on the campaign, halfway through this season, or about halfway. We'll just see. I don't know if we're going to get 22 games in yet or not. A lot of it will probably be depending on the next 24 to 36 hours, but kind of at the halfway juncture, Stan, just kind of your thoughts, where you see this team has shown the most improvement and what areas right now will be kind of your priority or your focus of getting better.
I tell you what, the improvement I've seen over the past couple of games is the efficiency on the offensive end. I think we're now starting to figure each other out a little bit more, starting to learn on the offensive end, you know, where guys are good at. You know, I remember in a game the other day, Jelani Simmons is making more shots from the top of the key. So we ran some plays to get him the shots at the top of the key, and he prevailed in those spots. We learned, you know, when the ball goes inside to Josh, guys are moving now versus standing around. I think our cutting's getting better. We're trusting more. From a defensive standpoint, I finally saw us, you know, put together a pretty decent defensive half. Improvements, Dan, I like to see us be able to dig deeper into our playbook. You know, going into our games on Thursday, Saturday of last week, Dan, we have about 25 plays into our playbook. And what I did is the night before we took off to Lewis, I went through that playbook, and I just mapped out seven plays that we're going to try to be great at versus, you know, trying to run all these other plays and not be good. So we went down, we condensed our playbook down to seven plays. And I told my team, I said, listen, we have a lot of plays. I said, but these are the seven plays that I think we should be great at. And these are the seven plays we're going to run the next two games. And we repped them on Wednesday. We repped them on Thursday before in our shoot-around. We repped them in the game. We repped them Friday in practice. And we're going to rep them again this week. And I think that helped us out, you know. And we're going to continue to do that. We're going to stick with about seven or eight plays and just try to grow from those seven. And then anything else we have in the playbook will be after timeout plays. But I think our attention to detail has gotten better. I think our rebounding numbers dropped off in the second game. But I think, you know, if we can get Jelani Simmons and Clayton to use that athleticism a little more and rebound more, I think we're going to be a really pretty good ball club. We have to bring Glenn Rowell, you know. He's another guy that can stretch the floor. So his minutes are picking up. And I think he's going to be another guy that can really, really help us stretch the floor on the offensive end. Our zone press, our 55 defense, is not where I want it to be at this point, you know. And we got some work to do in that area. So we, you know, will it be great at this point in the season? Probably not, but we're going to make it better every day we practice.
All right, one final question, observation from Coach, and then we'll take a break, and Jelani Simmons will join us. All right, so again, we said that USI went from 8th to 3rd in the point standings after this past week. You look at it, Truman State, UMSO, USI, Southwest Baptist, Lewis, Lindenwood, Drury, well, the Maryville and Rockhurst are kind of tied for that A slot right now, but obviously some big ball games coming up, and hopefully the Eagles will be returned to action on Thursday against Quincy. But just kind of your thoughts on the landscape right now with the GLVC kind of halfway through the season for everybody.
It's a tough league, as I say every day, the best Division II league in the country. There's no easy nights, and as you see, some of those teams that got off to a slow start are starting to turn things around. You know, we have to continue on our end to keep climbing up the charts in terms of from the point system standpoint. Now, without games this week, I don't know how that's going to fare for us, but we're in a pretty good place. Do I want to be at the top of the league? Yes, but I feel like we are. You know, it could be a lot worse. And, you know, I try my best not to focus on too many other teams. I like to focus on the guys on my team. But, you know, as a coach, as an athlete, you watch the standings. And, you know, we'll keep our eyes on those standings, and hopefully we'll get a chance to play this week to take that number from a 3-2-2.
All right. So, again, USI and Lewis tomorrow night postponed. Looks like that game will be made up somewhere down the road. It looks like the USI and Truman State game that was scheduled for this Saturday will be made up sometime in February. Still working on the McKendree game, but first and foremost, the most important thing right now for this basketball team is to hopefully get a good report tomorrow from a young man that tested positive this morning, and we'll see if we'll be back at Screaming Eagle Arena on Thursday against Quincy. Stan, again, congratulations on the two wins last week.
Thanks, Dan. I'm sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to make sure I thank our loyal USI fans again for understanding that tonight we couldn't be there. It was out of our control. And I really look forward to getting out together and eating some of that great pizza at Taroni's and seeing some of our loyal fans. I haven't seen them yet, you know, since I've been back, you know, and I miss them dearly. And cannot wait until we can break bread together one day at Taroni's. But, Dan, thank you so much for all you do for USI and what you're doing right now. It's been a great joy, man, to work with you. It's been fun, and I look forward to the rest of the season, man. I really do.
Absolutely. All right, Stan, hopefully we'll see you on Thursday against Quincy.
All right. Hey, make sure you get Jelani Simmons a hard time. Headband Jelani is what they call him now because he's wearing a headband.
I'll never
let a guy wear a headband. He came out of that headband, and that drove me crazy. He played well, so I got to let him keep it now. So, but headband Jelani is his name now. So give him a hard time.
Okay.
All right, Dan.
I sure will. Thanks, Coach. All right, we'll see you soon. All right, that's Stan Gerard on basketball. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come right back. We'll speak with headman Jelani Simmons. Hopefully he will call us, and we'll talk with him about his big week. He had a couple of really good ball games and shooting the ball extremely well right now, especially from deep. This is Stan Gerard on basketball here on ESPN 97.7 FM, The Ref.
And the Main Street Boys make a noise at Taroni's. Ain't nothing but a pizza party at Taroni's. And the Main Street Boys are calling. Made fresh right here, the best pizza and beer. So follow us down the Pizza Break Road. All right, Vinny and the Main Street Boys are making noise. All right, pizza party at Taroni's.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? Then let State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville help you simplify and get to a better state. Because with Martin handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time to handle everything else, and more money too. Because adding State Farm policies can earn discounts that could add up to 40% and actually help you get ahead. Call State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville today and get to a better state with State Farm. Mark's Mattress Outlet is the only store in town where you will save up to 80% off famous name brands every day. Mark's Mattress Outlet carries the top name brand mattresses at closeout, clearance, and liquidation prices. They also manufacture their own line of luxury sleep natural mattresses, pillows, and adjustable bases, saving you up to 80%. That's compared to famous name brands. All famous brands are stocked, so bring your truck, your trailer, and sleep well tonight. Go to MarksMattress.com for a location near you and download the Outlet Pass for even more savings. Mark's Mattress Outlet, name brands for less.
Mark's Mattress Outlet.
Does your bank offer the personal service of a community bank combined with big bank products that you expect? I'm Dane Chandler, Banking Center Manager with Banterra, and with our bank, you get the best of both worlds. Our easy-to-use mobile app includes conveniences like mobile check deposit, We offer competitive CD and money market rates, smart mortgage options, and unmatched business products and services. Switching to Banterra is easy. Stop by our locations to learn more. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back, Stan Gerard on basketball here with this Monday night final segment, and hopefully we'll be back together next week here on the show. But right now it's our pleasure to have with us one of the new members of this year's basketball team. He's red hot right now, especially from three, Jelani Simmons. Jelani, good evening. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, doing well. All right, well, thanks for a few minutes of your time. So I just hung up the phone with Coach Gerard, and he told me to ask you about the headband. I guess you got a new nickname now. Headband Simmons, is that what it is?
Yeah, Headband Lonnie. Ever since I've been wearing it, you know, I've just been on fire lately. So, you know, I'm just going to stick to it for right now.
Well, I know basketball coaches are extremely superstitious. So let me ask you this. He said he has never allowed a player previously to wear a headband. So was this something that you had to approach him with before, or did you just show up coming out in the gym and had a headband on?
I just came out in the gym with a headband on. Nobody knew I was going to wear the headband, so I just pulled it out.
All right. So what was his reaction to that?
I mean, he ain't say nothing to me until, like, after the game, really. We was just saying Headband Lonnie. So he ain't really say much, though.
Well, I'll tell you what, after last week, let's see, you go 6 of 10 on Thursday night from 3, and then on Saturday afternoon you're 4 of 7. So that's 10 of 17 from three-point range. That's probably close to about 70%. I think somebody shooting that well from 3, you could probably do whatever you want.
I mean, I don't know. Not whatever I want. He'd be still strict on other stuff, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, Jelani. I mean, obviously, we had you in the postgame show on Thursday, and we talked to you about your performance against Lewis, and certainly a big second half that you and Emmanuel had in that ball game to rally the team and get the 9-point win. But, you know, for the fans that are listening out there that have not had a chance to meet you yet, certainly a young man that transferred in from the Division I level this past season to join this team. Just tell us a little bit about that whole situation for you and kind of how you found out about USI and really what led you to make that decision to transfer and play for Coach Gerard and the Screaming Eagles this season.
Really, like, as soon as I went to the transfer portal, Coach was the first one to really hit me up. And, like, throughout my whole time, this isn't, like, figuring out where I'm going to go. He stick with me the whole time. And when he was at UND, he offered me. And then he let me know that he was coming to USI. So I was like, it must be meant to be because, like, USI is beautiful. I love the arena. And the coaching staff was real cool. So it was just – I just loved the team and what he was telling me. So it was just a good experience when I came on a visit.
Well, and that was the thing, too. I mean, you're coming, and he's bringing some new players in. You've got an entire new staff for the returning players like Mateo and Emmanuel and Josh and Tyler Dancy and Glenn Rowell and all of those guys. And so, you know, a new coach, a lot of new players, the returning players. How do those first couple of meetings go? I mean, not only when you meet those guys on the court, but I'm sure they're kind of showing you around campus a little bit, and maybe you drove around the city of Evansville. And, you know, what were your first impressions? You knew Coach Gerard and probably his staff, but what were your first impressions when you met Josh and Emmanuel and Mateo and some of the returning guys from last year?
You know, when I first got here, I just tried to hang out with everybody and get to know everybody so that, you know, it's my first year here, so I might as well get to know these guys. I mean, I love them. We was having open gyms. We was just playing together, and it seemed like a real good fit. Like, we was playing good together and everything. Like, I just love playing with these dudes. It's just a different experience from where I came from last year. It's just guys that want to play and all that.
Okay, and, you know, the thing of it is, I mean, when you transfer in, you know, you talk about where you were in your previous stop, and certainly you at the Division I level, and you know, this program has had several Division I athletes that have transferred into USI, and all these kids have really kind of felt, you know, that they fit in really well. So what was that like just for you in those pickup games, you know, playing the Division I level, having that experience, and then, you know, kind of acclimating yourself to Division II? A lot of people have told me that have made that transition, Jelani, that the only difference really is the size of the players, maybe a little bit of the speed of the game, but other than that, it's all pretty similar. What are your thoughts as far as just Division I against Division II?
I really have to say the same thing, really, just the size of the players. The skill level is no different from D1 at all. It's just really the height and, like, the strength and all that. That's really much it. But the IQ is there and the skill level is there. But I don't really find a difference between the two.
Well, then, you made a very good first impression. I mean, the game with Rockhurst, you get 26 points in that game, and unfortunately, you know, the USI lost that contest. But just as far as the comfort level and fitting in and trying to find kind of your role on the team, now we're 10 games into this season, 7-3, playing some really good basketball. How about your comfort level with these guys on the floor?
I'm real comfortable on the floor with them. Coach just tell me to play my game, and the guys just want me to play my game and just not to think, really, and not worry about messing up. Like, we all know how to talk to each other and figure everything out. So, like, I'm real comfortable on the floor with these guys and with the coaches.
And of these 10 games, I don't know how many of them you've started, Jelani, and a couple of those you came off the bench. Does it matter to you? You know, some people like to start. Other people like to, you know, see the first through the first media timeout and kind of get in the flow of the game. What is it for you? Does it matter if you start, or does it matter if you come off the bench?
No, it really doesn't matter for me. Really, we were just trying to figure things out. You know, like, this is our first year with the coaching staff and players, and we ain't get to have a scrimmage or nothing like that. So, like, we really still trying to figure out stuff that what's going to work and what's not going to work, really.
And as far as you being a shooter, what is the ideal gym for you, just as far as the backdrop, the lighting? I mean, when you're out there warming up and you're on in a venue that you haven't been in before, you know, sometimes there are soft spots on the court. For a shooter like you, Jelani, what is it maybe in your pregame routine that you do every single night when you go into a place for the first time?
I just go in there and just not think, really. Just warm up, and just if I'm feeling hot, then I know it's going to be a good game, and just get myself ready doing warm-ups. That's pretty much it.
And as far as the shooter, you know, again, the last two games, the second half, I mean, you basically, along with some teammates, really kind of put them on your back. Just as far, I guess, when you shoot and the first couple shots maybe don't go in, your mindset is, you know, hey, keep shooting. I'm this good of a player that, you know, eventually they're going to start falling. And obviously, in the second half, these last two ball games, you have found a rhythm in a hurry, and you've almost been unconscious in the second half of these last two games.
Yeah, before these two games, I was in, like, a little slump, really. And my teammates and the coaches were telling me, like, just keep shooting. Like, you know, they're going to drop. Don't worry about it. Stay confident and all that. So, you know, with them just having my back through them games, it just felt like I owed them, really. And these last two games, I've just been shooting my shots and just been real confident with my shots.
All right. I had a chance to talk to Clayton earlier this afternoon, and I asked him, I said, between you and Clayton, I would almost pay to see a three-point shooting contest to see what your range is. I mean, he basically said that at the end of each practice, you're almost there at half court making about four or five in a row. He doesn't think he could probably keep up with your range in the forecourt shooting threes.
I mean, that's my twin for real. We just like, we play like, he just left-handed version of me, really. So, I don't know for real. It's gonna be a good, it'd be a great shootout.
Yeah, it really would. You feel right now this team is playing its best basketball of the season?
Not its best, but we're going to get to our best. We're playing real good right now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the trend this past week to get these two. And you have not been able to experience a home crowd yet at USI. I mean, and again, this team's had like one home game in about 5 weeks. I know you were looking forward to tomorrow night, hopefully get back on the court on Thursday, but what do you like about the Screaming Eagle Arena just as far as being in that gym and being a shooter? Is it a shooter-friendly gym to you?
Yeah, I love that gym. It's a beautiful gym. I love shooting that gym. I just think the old videos of the fans in there, I just wish they was in there. It had me feeling even more better.
Yeah, well, I know they can't wait to meet you, and obviously you play in front of them, and hopefully that's coming sooner rather than later. But, Jelani, I really appreciate a few minutes of your time, and again, congratulations to you and to the Eagles on the two wins last week, and hopefully back on the court on Thursday and pick up another one.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. That's Jelani Simmons joining us here on the San Gerardo basketball. And that will wrap up the show. We've got Big 12 basketball for you coming up here in just a second. It'll be West Virginia taking on Texas Tech. And again, we'll be back with you next week at 7 o'clock for another edition of San Gerard on Basketball. Special thanks to Corey Clayton, our producer, here on ESPN 97.7 FM, The Ref.
You've been listening to San Gerard on Basketball here on ESPN 97.7 The Ref. Tonight's show has been brought to you by Taroni's, Allstott Office City, by Banterra Bank, and by Martin Woodruff State Farm Insurance Agency. Be listening each Monday night throughout the season for Stan Gerard on Basketball. Tonight's show has been another sports presentation of Evansville Sports Programming Incorporated and ESPN 97.7 The Ref, always the right call.
ESPN 97.7 WREF, Sebring, Henderson, and Evansville. ESPN 97.7 The Ref.
Four straight games that have been postponed due to COVID, but they're going to be back on the floor tonight. Meanwhile, Utah State will take on UNLV. Also later on out west, it will be Arizona State and Arizona Part 2. Last time was a tough finish for Bobby Hurley and the Sun Devils. We'll talk more about that at halftime. A couple of finals. First of all, New Mexico State slammed West New Mexico 70-41. Also out west, LMU lit up Portland 75-50. Gardner-Webb got past Charleston.